20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
March 1st, the calendar has turned over. Spring is on the horizon, and maybe so, perhaps, is a decision for the Green Bay Packers quarterback. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am the host in standing this evening. I'm Jacob Westendorf. Mr. Stack is being a teacher. I don't know what's going on, but from what I've gathered for the reason that he's not here, I don't know if there's much hope for the youth in America anyways. But I'm joined. I mean,
if Mr. Stack is Mr. Stack, there wasn't much hope to begin with.
That's also fair. And the other voice that you just heard is Ross Uglum, the publisher of Pack Report. Ross, welcome to the show. How are we feeling?
I'm good. Welcome to your please listen to this before Rodgers announces he's coming back on McAfee edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Again, apparently. We thought that was the case last week, and that was not what happened. So Rodgers did not announce anything. I will give Aaron credit from this standpoint. At least he told us at the beginning of his interview that I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, exactly.
There isn't anything like confirmed that Rodgers is going to be on McAfee tomorrow. There was just like an Albright leak that said McAfee show might have like all new ratings or something like that. And there was another, like a couple of rumblings here or there, but nothing official, no McAfee tweet this week or anything like that. So the idea is that, or at least the prevailing thought is that Rodgers will be on the show tomorrow and announcing that he's coming back. And Ross, that seems to be most people's big takeaway from his appearance last week on McAfee, is that he's either retiring or he's staying in Green Bay and going to be the quarterback for the foreseeable future. That's what you took away from that as well.
Yeah. I think the tea leaves, like we kind of mentioned, the tea leaves have always pointed to retirement or Green Bay. You know, this whole Mike Florio thing of like Rodgers is enraged and they're just trying to butter up to him so he comes back. Like, that's all just pretend at this point. I mean, it's just not based in reality. And that's what we've seen really since I think we've seen a couple things, right? I think we've seen that he realizes just how good this team is, and you might be looking at Tampa Bay thinking, man, that can really unravel fast as far as the guys, you know, that are leaving and you know, the lack of success Tampa had in the playoffs this last year. And, you know, I think right away he probably saw Tom leave and win a title and probably got annoyed by that. But then I think he saw, okay, it's tough, even though you could say the same thing for Stafford. Stafford's in a little different situation. Ultimately he wanted to be heard. Unless he's flat out lying to everybody, he feels like he's being heard, and that's probably enough to salvage the relationship at this point.
Yeah. After the airing of grievances press conference in July, which is what everybody's calling it. I don't know if that's been officially what it's been titled, but that's what everybody's calling it. After After that, it felt like, you know, hey, this is it. He's done. And he's just kind of here because he has to be, not necessarily because he really wants to be. You know, he just wants to play football. But if he had his druthers, he would play somewhere other than Green Bay. Really, since the turning point that we talked about last week, which was that Chicago game where he kind of said, well, I'm not sure this was my last game at Soldier. I don't think it's my last game, whatever it was exactly that he said. Everybody was kind of like, boing, there's the first like hint
that
he's coming back.
How about Lazard dropping hints too?
We're going
to London. It's like, bro, you're not under contract.
Yeah. Are you sure? Are you going to London? Yeah. That's the other piece of news today. The Packers are going to London. Stop whining about that. Dara Carragher gets to go to a Packers game, and I am happy for him. The city of Green Bay survived a COVID year where there were no fans in the stands. They will survive not getting a ninth game in the regular season. They'll be just fine on that end. On the Rodgers end, before we move completely onto something completely different, because like you said, Ross, this is basically based in pretend at this point. The trade machine stuff can end. Would the Packers do this trade can end. You don't need to do any of that stuff. But Ian Rappaport is talking today at the Combine and said that the two sides are working on an extension that will make him the highest paid player in the NFL for a short-term deal. How short that remains to be seen. And highest paid, what exactly that means remains to be seen, because his cap number, it's going to drop. His cap number is going to drop significantly. There's no question about that for what the Packers are going to do. So kind of like we just said, I don't even really need to kick this over. Aaron Rodgers is either coming back to Green Bay or he's retiring, and I can't imagine they would spend this much time working on an extension if Rodgers was going to ultimately retire and or ask for a trade. So Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback in Green Bay. It's really just a matter of him coming on Pat McAfee's show and confirming what is one of the worst-kept secrets, I think, of the last couple of weeks. Speaking of the Combine, that is this week. Ross and I unfortunately cannot go. Ross doesn't want to talk about it. He can't go. And
Morley's not going either.
Nobody. And these are groups of people. We have all been at the Combine before. So this is a uncommon occurrence for one of us at least to not be there between the last couple of years at least. And unfortunately not able to swing that this year. But going into the Combine, what I wanted to do, Ross, was have you pick one of the team's needs and who's somebody going into the Combine that your eyes are on of like, that's my guy. That's what I want to see over that first week. Or maybe it's a guy that you've mocked to the Packers quite frequently. And you can check out Mock Draft Monday on Packer Report, packerreport.com, every single Monday. And he does that, not just his own, but a lot of people's from around the NFL. So be sure to check those out. But yeah, who is your guy going into a team needs position going into the Combine?
I feel like the easy answer is Christian Watson. Because this is, you know, for me, covering North Dakota State and seeing him just erase angles on people. And I mean, people that are 5'11", you know, 190 pounds, like people that he's way bigger than. I've always wondered, it's always been kind of one of those things. You know, you people talk to you behind the scenes, tell you he can run 4.3 flat. That would be bonkers. But, you know, it's one of those things that you're just waiting to see. The other one that I'm really interested in, is DeMarvin Leal and just kind of how he does. And if it's Leal or if I'm mispronouncing that, I'm sure I'll get it figured out by the end of draft season. But he's a guy, you know, that the folks have talked about from a this one might surprise you standpoint, as far as it's a position they've taken in the past. It's a position, you know, where they could take a toolsy guy and kind of, you know, groom him. They did just lose Kingsley Keke. He was mocked in the top 10 of this draft, you know, like when people were doing their way too early mocks right after last year's draft, he was a big part of that. Got great size, I think would fit right in that 4i position in this, you know, whatever you want to call it, Brandon Staley, Vic Fangio, Joe Barry defense. And ultimately, though, he's a dice roll because the production wasn't there. And there was an arrest, marijuana related arrest as well. And, ultimately, I think he's going to be a little bit of a dice roll, but you want to know what the upside is. Like, what are you rolling your dice for? If he goes and has a good combine, interviews well, but more importantly to me, tests well and shows you this is an elite athlete. This is a five-star prospect. That changes things a little bit for me.
Yeah, it could be one of the – I mean, different because the Packers are picking in 28th and not 12th, but you mentioned taking a toolsy guy kind of in the mold of what they did with Rashawn Gary a couple of years ago. And the reality about the Packers' defensive line is that with Kenny Clark being the only guy really with some juice as far as the pass rush goes, Kingsley Keke was their second-best pass rush.
1,000%.
And that loss stings, I think, a little bit more than what is being let on. And that's where somebody – I said earlier today that – I think DeMarvin Leal is going to be the guy that could be the guy that causes some groans on draft night from the Packers fan base, just on what could be. It could be something that they really like, especially if he tests really well and has a big combine like that.
Right, exactly. I think they'd groan less at that point.
Yeah. So my guy on the other side, I'm going to stay on the line of scrimmage, and I have been very outspoken because this is the time of year where everybody starts mocking receivers to the Packers and their drafts, and that's all well and good, and I understand it. But
I did that today.
And Ross did that today. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it just hasn't happened since 2002. Now, it would have happened in 2019 if Justin Jefferson or Brandon Ayuk could fall in just a little bit further, but it didn't. And they haven't since 2002. So I'm a believer that their first pick in this year's draft is going to be on line of scrimmage and probably on the defensive side of the ball. I am looking at Myjai Sanders from Cincinnati as one of those guys that you look at the edge class, you know, Hutchinson and Thibodeau, those guys are no ways. They're not going to be anywhere near where Green Bay is going to be able to pick. And then it's kind of a toss up between, you know, Kolarfdis, Trayvon Walker, David Ajabo, some of that group. So you're trying to find some of those guys toward the end of the first round of who is going to be available there. And Sanders is one of those guys that certainly could be. I love some of the explosion stuff that he has on tape. He had some good stuff from the All-Star game that he played in this year as well. So that's one of those things that I think the Packers could certainly use. And at the end of the first round, you're not – I mean, Brian Gutekunst has shown a propensity to trade up and get his guys. So if somebody like Kolarfdis or Ojabo or somebody like that is in like at 22, 23, could he move up and go get that guy? Certainly. But if he doesn't want to do that, and with the limited draft capital that they could have this year, that's one of those guys that you want to see. How does he test? How's his explosion stuff? How do those, you know, typical measures come in for what the Packers typically like with their edge guys? And somebody finally gracing us with his presence to talk about some of those things is Mr. Stack. Jacob Morley has joined us now. And Jake, what I was talking about, so Ross took Christian Watson by default, and then of course went to DeMarvin Leal. But what we're talking about is, who is your guy at a position that you're watching for the NFL Combine here? So I took Majai Sanders, and I might have butchered his name as well. So in the spirit of butchering people's names, because Ross might have done that with Leal, who's somebody that you really like that you're watching?
Let me jump in real quick just on the Sanders thing, because I'm doing edge for my draft evals, and I found something sad with two guys that I've loved, and that's Devontae Wyatt. Yep. And now it's Jermaine Johnson. And what is that?
They're old.
And so just be careful on stuff like that. Pay attention to stuff that Goody has done in the past, especially early. And as much as I may like Jermaine Johnson on tape, if he's 24, Goody's not going to take him. So anyway, that was my take with the edge class and with that. Like Ojabo, Johnson, Sanders, Ebatike, like group is pay attention to even like Boye Mafe, like pay attention to the ages of these kids.
And Ojabo is going to be interesting to me. I've seen him mocked as high as like 8.
Yeah.
I just think somebody that he's smaller.
Well, Jeremiah had the kid from Georgia 5th overall.
Yeah. Walker. Yeah.
Walker was 5 overall.
Yeah, so that's going to be fun to watch. Anyways, we've jumped on Jake enough. Mr. Stack, welcome to the show. Did you save the youth of America?
I'm trying, man. Yeah, I was just about to talk, and then Ross just jumped all over me. What the heck is this? Speaking of DeMarvin Leal, is this how you pronounce his name? I just put him, actually, in my mock draft Monday at 28 for the Packers. Using the Green Bay Draft Guide big board for that. And he's a guy that I think we hit on all the points here too. Like, he is a young guy. He's going to be 21 when he's drafted, 22 his rookie year. And he is a guy that I think is going to test really well. So a guy that I like a lot as well for a fit for this Packers team at the end of round one. It just really seems like it would make a lot of sense. We, of course, will see how he tests. Kenny Clark did not test, you know, super well though, but our good pal, Peter Bukowski, pointed this out on Locked On Packers today, too, and I was listening to him, and I think he made a good point with talking about interior defensive linemen and how the Packers maybe don't necessarily value them at such a high clip, because you look at the two guys they've taken high, and these are his thoughts, but I do agree with it. B.J. Raji and Kenny Clark, two guys that if you're going to run a 3-4 and need to have that kind of that stopper, you need to have the guy. And once they have the guy, they haven't really drafted guys that high behind him, especially in round one. So I think that's an interesting little nugget. But he would be an interesting guy for this Packers team. So we are talking about guys that we are excited to see at the combine. Is that kind of the
– or somebody that you just want to know. So like my thing with Sanders when I want to know the explosion stuff.
Sure.
Ross wants to know how –
really how fast Christian can run at 6'4", 212.
Yeah. I gotcha. Okay, so mine would be, I want to know if Justin Ross is healthy. I want to know what his medicals are. You know, Justin Ross, the receiver from Clemson that I'm sure a lot of people remember him from the 2019 college football championship, just absolutely having his way with Alabama. Absolutely. Just disgusting. Yeah. I think he had over 150 yards in that game. You know, was making just a bully down the field, just an absolutely incredible athlete. The body control, the ability to high point, the late hands. I mean, all of that on display as like an 18-year-old against freaking Nick Saban in Alabama. And then, of course, had his sophomore year, probably didn't take the steps that a lot of people expected him to his sophomore year. But then, of course, the really interesting thing about him is the spinal, the spinal fusion that he had to have, the surgery. I think a lot of people thought he was done playing football. Actually was able to come back this last year. He won the ACC award. I forget what it's called, but the ACC award for most courageous player, because a lot of people thought he was just done playing football. But he comes back and has a decent year, right? And I think you watch him compared to his freshman year, and I think he is such an interesting case study because his freshman year he looked way more explosive than he did coming back with the neck injury. But my man also played with a fractured foot this last year. So you question, is it the neck injury or was it the foot? So I'm really excited and interested to see what his medical evaluations are at the combine, because if he gets a clean bill of health, dude can play. And he's an intriguing, intriguing prospect.
Yeah, a couple of things. Is it kind of like a Miles Jack situation where people are thinking like he could be a really good player, but what if he only plays for 5 years and then has to quit, which I don't think is actually ended up being the case with Jack. I think he's ended up being fine so far. But is that kind of what people are thinking with the spinal thing?
I don't know. Because with Jack, it was the knee, right? Didn't he have like the microfracture knee injury?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the backs are just a weird thing. And I bet every team is going to
never want to hear the word spinal. You never want to hear the word spinal. It's never good.
No, and the fusion. I mean, Packers fans are familiar with that enough. I mean, that's similar to what Nick Collins had. And if you paid close attention to that, it matters where it's at in the spine. I believe the lower, the worse it is. Or I could be wrong. I don't know. But no, in any case, Ross is right. Like anytime you hear spine or back injury, I think the saying is, I've never heard of anyone that used to have a bad back. So you wonder about that, but he is talented. He is very talented. So he's that is my thing that I'm probably watching the closest this upcoming combine this week.
And the second thing I was going to say is just as kind of a combine prepper, if you will, you know, we've done the kind of the RAS guide over when I was at Cheesehead TV, and we've continued it to, you know, the Packer report. Where do their minimums lie? And I would say, you know, we're talking about defensive linemen. You mentioned Kenny Clark and the way that he didn't test all that great. And we've really found, you know, these four positions that the Packers don't necessarily value athleticism a ton. Interior defensive line, they'll kind of do whatever. Like, I don't think TJ Slayton tested super well. Mm-hmm. I know Kiki did, but he's supposed to be a juice guy. But they've taken guys that don't test well at the interior D line. They've taken very mediocre testers at linebacker with varying degrees of success. I mean, the best one they ever took was Oren Burks, and I'll just leave it at that. I mean, from an RAS perspective, they've shown that they will gamble on athleticism at tight end, and they've shown they will gamble on athleticism at running back. Shout out Aaron Jones. Shout out Jamal Williams. And so those are the four spots where, you know, you're kind of like, oh, whatever. Other than that, though, all bets are off. I mean, you talk about MVS, even Jamon Moore. I know people think he sucked, but from a testing perspective, he certainly didn't. Edge rusher, corner, safety, tackle. They want freaks. Freaks, freaks, freaks.
Yep. Yeah, they do. And so that's why I think for Packers fans, this stuff is even more interesting. And Jacob brought it up, and I think he's right when you say something like, hey, Brian Gutekunst, do you know what RAS is? And in fact, Ross, I think you even mentioned RAS to Goody at one point, and he kind of just looked at you like you were a psychopath, and you had to like rephrase the question to be like, athletes, because they absolutely have thresholds for athletes, and they probably have their own version of that.
You like them to be big and run fast and jump high,
yeah, duh. Who you don't like the good. And so I wonder too, you know, you mentioned tight end is something that they haven't really, like Jay Sternberger was not a freak athlete. I don't think DeGuara really was either. Mm-mm. And I wonder if they would correct themselves after that. And because I wonder about that kind of stuff. And then it's like with Amari Rodgers too.
How about Bobby? Does anybody know what Bobby ended up looking like?
Well, no, you would be the guy. He played, I mean, he's an FCS quarterback, right? Yeah. Look that up.
You'd be the guy. Don't you just have that?
Don't you just have that knowledge in your head, Ross?
Give me one second. I'll effort that.
But I was, you know, and Amari Rodgers is another guy. As I just wrote up two guys for the guide. I just wrote up Kyle Phillips and Wandale Robinson. Two,
Bobby's elite. You
know, is he? Yeah,
8.8.
I think they would like
draft him either, though.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
Yeah, that was a free agent signing too, and that's where, you know, we've talked about this in the past too, where some of those things change a little bit. Like Za'Darius Smith wasn't an elite tester, if memory serves, and they signed him to a really big deal anyways. So it'll be interesting to see how some of that
turns out. But they have cared less about athleticism in free agent signings than they have against the draft, because I don't think Billy tested very well either, and I don't think Amos did either.
I think Amos was, but I get what you're saying. Because and Preston was a freak, but I think if you can go out and prove like, hey, can you play at this level with that type of athleticism? Sure, we'll pay you, but the draft is all about mitigating risks, right? And if you can try to narrow it down any way you can, that is all what teams are trying to do. And you know, they might take guys off the board, and later on, you might point at them and be like, well, why didn't you take this guy? He clearly was good on tape. And I think the Packers' response would be, yeah, he was good on tape and we liked him, but we look at this as a whole. We look at it almost as like a math equation. And I know some people aren't going to like that, but it's like we're mitigating our risks here. And that might mean we're going to miss out on a player that has better tape than someone that is more athletic. But we're going to gamble on the athletes at these positions because history has shown us that those are the guys that hit. And so I think Green Bay,
they literally have wider margins of error in all aspects. You have a wider swath of guys that have been successful in the league. And frankly, when you make a mental mistake, if you're a freak athlete, it's easier to recover from it.
Example, a bigger, faster, stronger league. Did anyone watch Eric Stokes this year as a rookie? My man got torched more than once and was just able to raw speed make up for that mistake.
Can't teach 428.
You cannot. So that's it's nice. It's nice having that on the roster, and that's a lot of fun. Jacob, what else you got for us today?
Yeah, the other thing, I said we weren't going to talk about the combine very much because all of us are upset that we couldn't be there. So then Jake decided to take that for an extra 15 minutes, but that's okay. We'll forgive him on this time around. Wanted to talk next week will be a preview show of sorts for free agency, kind of. But I did want to know if you guys had somebody ahead of time that you're looking at of like, here's a position that the team has a need at, and this is a free agent that I would love for them to sign. And Jake, since you were here later than ever, and don't worry about the cap stuff. I think if there's anything that we've kind of figured out over the last couple of weeks is the Packers have found money in places that we didn't even know existed. So, I mean, I'm not saying that they could sign a top of market guy at his position, but you can kind of get rid of the disclaimer of if the money works, then we understand that you're saying this if the money works. So Jake, where's your first instinct to take you there?
I'll give you two. I know you just said one. So I'll give you a no cap. Let's take the cap off. I would love to see where Chris Godwin is at with his knee injury. And if my man could give me three quarters of a season, and this might even be a cheap deal. You know, I don't know why he wouldn't just sign it in Tampa. Well, actually, I do because Tom Brady just left. But if you want to come here and try to recoup some value in Green Bay, give us half a season for a cheap deal, get you ready for the playoffs, that's fine. Do it. That would be cool. So that's a guy I would kick the tires on. My guess would be I bet someone will still get him top of market type money. But a guy that I think would really help this team out and be an underrated signing, and Packers fans are very familiar with, is Jakeem Grant, the returner slot type guy. Played for Chicago, has played for Miami, obviously had the almost single-handedly beat the Packers via special teams. I think that was in Lambeau or something. I don't know.
It was at Lambeau. But I was there. It sucked.
Yeah, so keep him there. Keep him in Lambeau. He loves playing there. He looks real fast there. I think he obviously would be an upgrade at, you know, all of your return units he'd be an upgrade at. But one thing that I thought was really interesting this last year as far as watching this Packers team, and I was kind of starting to get into it when I was talking about like the Wandales and the Kyle Phillips, like these, you know, jitterbugs, fast slot type guys, is the Packers still like to do a lot of window dressing with their offense. But when you don't have a guy that is going to put any fear into the heart of defenses running that jet motion type sweep, teams are going to stop respecting it. And they absolutely stopped respecting it against the Packers last year. And I don't blame them. When big Alan Lazard is coming on that jet sweep, that doesn't scare anybody. So getting a guy like Jakeem Grant into this scheme where it's like, hey, we can run that jet sweep and the dude might actually take it the distance like he did against the Packers. That would be something that I would be really interested in for a kind of an under the radar type signing in Green Bay.
Ross?
This is kind of a Ted Thompson-y move more than a Brian Gutekunst move. Although Goody did re-sign Tremont, but it's re-signing a guy like Tremont, and that's Brian Bulaga. Now that means that the Chargers do, which has been rumored, it means the Chargers do have to move on from him and, you know, kind of cut bait on that contract. But frankly, what he has given them was not acceptable to what they are paying him and what they would have to pay him under his current contract. So I think that's a possibility. And you look at a Packers team that could be grooming Royce Newman as the right tackle of the future if they really, really like, you know, Runyon and want to kind of move forward with those guys, or if they want to do, you know, Royce and Runyon long-term at guard and kick Jenkins out to right tackle, then this kind of makes it a moot point. But if Bulaga wants to do what Jake is talking about with Godwin, I got to bounce after this, but reestablish some value for one more run, or just treat this as your one more run. And I know Bulaga sounds like kind of a premium person in the Rick Wagner slash Veldheer role, but slash Dennis Kelly, like, but they've signed that guy. And why can't that guy be Brian Bulaga? Especially if they feel like Elgton Jenkins is his timeline is that he could be available. Cause then, you know, you figure out, okay, well, do you play Royce? Do you not play Royce? Okay, we really like running at left guard, but maybe we just put Elgton back at left guard. You have all these options if you have, hey, we might only get six games of Brian and then he might break down again, but we'll get those six games of Brian and we have these contingencies. So that's kind of my guy, my fit, especially in, and I know you said not to, but in this economy, if you will.
Well, and the Packers have signed a free agent offensive lineman every year since Brian Gutekunst has been the general manager. So that wouldn't be surprising on that end of things. We'll see if they can keep Billy Turner, in which case, like you said, then he becomes Wagner and Veld here. You can find him on Twitter. He's at Ross Uglum. Check out over at Packer Report. He's doing receivers and edges for the Cheesehead TV draft guide this year. So Ross, appreciate having you on. Before we sign off, I'm going to give my fit, and that is Akeem Hicks, defensive lineman out of Chicago. Ross said this was kind of Ted Thompson-y. It's also kind of Goody-y, but Ted Thompson, I remember. I just think of the Julius Peppers signing. And Akeem Hicks, not that level of player, not a Hall of Famer, but just somebody that they could add to that defensive line room and just be nasty next to Kenny Clark, and then put those guys with, you know, Clark and Hicks with Gary and Preston and whoever their edge rusher choice is, and kind of be able to move from there. The other name I'm going to throw out there just for funsies is Rob Gronkowski, because I think the Packers need a tight end. Gronkowski has got plenty of Super Bowl pedigree, obviously, having played with Tom Brady. He has said he'd only play with Brady in the past, but recently said he would play with Joe Burrow. So I wonder, can Joe Burrow mean Aaron Rodgers? And then you add in, and he's the best tight end, even at his age. I think he's even the best tight end that Aaron Rodgers has ever played with a apology due to JerMichael Finley on that front. So those are our early picks. We'll see what happens here in a couple of weeks on that front. We'll see what happens potentially today on the Aaron Rodgers front. Until then, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Jacob Westdorf. You can find Jacob Morley. He's at Jacob Morley. And check out on the Game On Wisconsin page. This is our pinned tweet, and you're going to see it a lot from Jake and myself here over the next couple of weeks, the Green Bay draft guide, an opportunity for you guys to buy the TZTV one too. You can never have too many opinions on draft prospects or anything like that. So buy both of them. Ours is for the Green Bay Draft Guide. It's $8.99 if you order it now. Pre-order it now between now and April 11th. That date can be flexible, but we'll let you pre-order between now and April 11th. Over 200 profiles dedicated specifically to the Green Bay Packers. So check that out. Check out everything else. We will be back next week, maybe with a decision, and Panda Watch, as we know it, will be over. See you guys next week.